In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is another glorious Easter Sunday. It happens to be the second one. There's a couple more after this one. It's a season, isn't it? As in everything in the church, in the Episcopal Church, is done by season. It keeps us focused for a time on particular aspects of our understanding of being Christians. So this morning, we are hearing from John in this letter to a first century church, very likely house churches, a series of them, probably somewhere near or in Asia at the time. And there's a struggle going on in the church. And they're clarity is lacking as to what or whom Jesus is. Some were beginning to think that perhaps he was not yet fully human and fully divine. They were struggling to understand the fullness of what had happened, although it was not so many years prior to this letter being written. The church was already shockingly wandering from the message. So we know often in epistles, in the style of writing and the time, you're probably in trouble if they immediately start by telling you the facts. So the fact, we declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The word was made flesh. You want that to be running in your head. The word was made flesh. And he's saying, touched with our own hands concerning the word made flesh of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it. Jesus himself, I'm adding those in case you're not reading along. And declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And our reader added in, your joy, our joy may be complete, which is very helpful because that's really what they're saying. They're saying, this is the truth, brothers and sisters. The Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, has come into the world. We have seen him. We have touched him. We bear witness to him. And through his crucifixion and resurrection, we have found forgiveness of our sins and freedom from our sins and actual true life in Christ, in fellowship with God, in reconciliation with God and with one another. Amen? This is the message. This is the message. And why does it matter whether it's your joy or our joy? The truth is it's our joy, isn't it? It's a joy that we all share together. It's a joy to have others join us in this understanding of Jesus because, well, really for one reason. The greatest thing that has ever happened for humanity is reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ. And when you come to know that, don't you want everybody to know that joy? So in order for our joy to be complete, we have to continue to share the message, carry this good news to the world. But at this point, when this letter is being written, some weren't so sure. There was a schism, a separation in the church. Thankfully, that never happens anymore. Some people were gaining a different understanding of who this Jesus is. The church has been doing this since the first century, first trying to define who this Jesus is, and now trying to remember who the church defined Jesus to be. And it clearly had to do with this concept of him being able to be the Savior, the fully human, fully divine God incarnate who came into this world, walked with us, shared with us, has understanding of how we feel, how we move, how we sin, but yet walked sinless as the light of God, and then paid the price so that we could be free from our own sin. It's uncomfortable to think about that someone would do something so gracious, but God has done that in such a gracious and humble way. But some aren't so sure. And we can hear this because they say, again, this is the message, in case you were confused as to what they were talking about. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. What a glorious thing. Every time I say it, this song goes through my head. I'm not going to sing it for you. You're welcome. But the good news is it's there. And we immediately go, yes, it's Easter. We're basking in the Easter light. And what a glorious thing it is. What a glorious time it is. What a wonderful thing to be remembering constantly. But it's also important to hear that as this church was struggling, some were beginning to lose the detail of whom Jesus is by downplaying, perhaps, either his humanity or his deity, one or the other. And you can hear this in these following statements. It's a if, and then it says, if we do this, this happens, but if we do this, it compensates. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. Okay. Suddenly that light doesn't sound as great. So sometimes the light of God, where there is no darkness at all, can feel a little harsh. I was sharing with the earlier service, there are some places, and I'll be honest, where when we get up in the morning in our camper, where you can step into the bathroom, and then you can step out. And it's got good light in there. Got a little skylight, lots of natural light, has a light of its own, but the mirror's like here. That is some harsh light, brothers and sisters, and I got to tell you, I look different in that light, but it's real. Too real, to be honest with you. It's like, oh, old guy. Yeah, but it shows every flaw. And part of me is taken back for a moment, and then I say, I probably earned most of these flaws and probably caused many of them myself. And then, strangely enough, I got a new computer and I was getting everything set up, and it has a better camera than my old one, which I could have cared less about until a little over a year ago. I don't think I ever used a computer camera before. Now it seems like the story of my life. And I'm setting up a Zoom meeting, and I pull it up, make sure it's working, and I'm looking at myself on my computer screen, and I'm thinking, I look pretty good on here. Apparently there's a little button in there. You can adjust just how much it takes, smooths you out. And it was turned way up, and I'm thinking, I think I just lost like 15 years. My skin is all the same color, and it's smooth, and those wrinkles that I've worked so hard for. Yeah, it didn't do anything about the gray hair. They need to work on that. But you know, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, man, I look kind of good on Zoom. And I thought, it's too good. I got to turn that off. Because it just didn't feel right, you know, that harsh light. And yeah, I got a few miles on me, and that's okay. You know, I don't mind. Some of them are harder than others. But we have to think about ourselves and our journey with God, who is the light. And if we act like we're walking in the light and we're really not willing to see our flaws or let our flaws be seen, are we really walking in the light? And John says, you're not. You're not. There is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But we have to actually walk in the light. That harsh light of God that shows everything, that shines in every deep, dark corner of our lives and the depths of our souls, and washes out the darkness. See, that's really the beauty of Easter. We're actually free of the darkness. But just like the early church here, we sometimes kind of back off of it a little bit. It's like, well, heaven forbid we show up at church sinful. actually went to a church event some years ago, prior to ordination. No, I wasn't. It was before seminary. If we walk in, there was a big event. They were dedicating a building, and they had all their chairs and stuff set up, and then they had to rent some chairs. Well, the chairs they rented were black. The chairs they owned were white. So we come walking in, and there's all these white chairs and like two or three rows of black chairs. And the guy at the door was joking, but I think I made him nervous, because he looks at me and goes, "Oh, well, you know, you sit up front, all the white chairs are up front for God's people. The sinners sit in the black chairs." I said, "Well, I'll be in the black." He goes, "Oh, you know, I was just kidding." I'm like, it's okay. But we're so quick to admit that. Anyone in here a sinner? Anyone here ready to confess your sins to the whole community? Noah's ready. Lord, get with me later. But the truth is, if we want to really walk in the light, and if God is the light and there is no darkness at all, we can't take darkness into our relationship with God, can we? If we think we are in relationship with God and we are unwilling to recognize our darkness and that which has been done for us through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, are we really walking in the light? And John would say, no. In fact, he would say, if you do that, we lie. Then he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So in my world, we call that justifying. I'm going to justify my behavior. I'm going to justify my decisions. Yeah, if you don't like what I've done, I can explain to you why I did it, and I can probably sell you on it as to why it was a good idea. And you might go, yeah, that makes sense. Or you're going to walk away going, he's an idiot. Both things have happened. Not today, but probably before it's over. But it's just one of our things, because we recognize we're not doing things 100% correctly, and so we just say, well, you know what? That's kind of the way God made me. I remember well, as I was working my way through the ranks of parish leadership, I started participating in a Bible study. And there was another man in this Bible study, happened on Sunday mornings at my ascending parish, and he and I had conversations back and forth. We knew each other very, very well. And if you know me at all, you probably know that sometimes I'm a little sarcastic. He made me look like an amateur. And so we would be going back and forth. What we didn't realize is that it was upsetting everyone else in the Bible study. And I was called over to the table, wonderful group of older ladies, and they said, "You are ruining our Bible study." I'm like, what? You and John are always fighting, and it's just ruining the Bible study. And I'm thinking, fighting? We're not fighting. But to them, we were fighting. And they go, if you're going to be in ministry, you need to think about that. And you know my response? It wasn't my idea to go into ministry, so if God called me like this, he'll have to figure it out. Brothers and sisters, that's what we call justifying our behavior. That's just knowing that there might be a little darkness in you and pretending you're not sinful. And John says to us, the church, first century and now, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So I had to work that out. And it says here, if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then John says again, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Brothers and sisters, we are sinful people. It's not okay to just be okay with that, unless you choose not to be in the light of God. None of us is without flaw. There is no magic slide to smooth us out, to make us look better. What there is, however, is the very light of God manifest to us through Jesus Christ, who gave his very body and blood so that we may be forgiven and so that we may be free. He is our advocate. He says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." So as we see the light of Christ this Easter season, I encourage you to take on the harshness of the light of Christ. Take your little slide that makes you look good, move it all the way to the left, and see the reality that God already has seen. And know that in this season and for always, since the moment he rose from the dead, we have been saved through Jesus Christ, able to be reconciled to God, not because we made ourselves look good, but because Jesus makes us complete in his forgiveness, paid for by his body and blood. So walk freely. Sins exposed and confessed, so you may be truly reconciled with God. And then our joy will be complete. Amen.